now joined by the president of the Students' Union, Freddie Ford. He's been in post now for well over a month and has had a chance to try and settle in with some of the different aspects of the job and try and find out what he's doing. So some issues were raised, Freddie, last week by The Saint newspaper here in St Andrews. They had said that actually very few people knew who the sabbaticals were. The figure was that 71% of students had no idea who the four sabbatical officers were. In March of this year, you told Star that you thought constructive relationships were essential. You gave a similar view to The Saint at the same time. When asked by Star how you would tackle student apathy towards the union, you replied that it was simply about visibility. So since you took up the post, roughly how many students have you spoken to?
Good morning to you too, Alexander. Well, I've actually been in the post since July. So there's been a lot of work we've been doing over the summer since before the students arrived. And I've actually, I feel like I've been sort of knocked back since Freshers Week because it was so busy. How many students have I spoken to? What are we doing to get our names and faces out there? I think it's important to recognise that the article that you're referring to doesn't have any comparative data at all whatsoever. It's impossible to know how far we are better known than, say, last SABS or the SABS before that. There's a few other issues I have with it as well, but, you know, I would say that the figures that you quoted, I think something like just around
71% of students couldn't recognise who the four people were.
It's not that's quite right. I think it was more like 50%, or just under 50% recognised who I was, and around 25 to 35% of people recognised who the other SABs were.
But still half of the students they surveyed didn't know who you were as the president.
And I think you'll find that's probably significantly higher than anywhere else. In terms of engagement with the association, recognising us by four black and white photographs isn't what I would call recognition of the importance of what we do here at the union. I think there's many ways that you can get involved in the union, this radio show being one of them. but seriously, we had, I can't remember the number of tickets we sold for Freshers Week, but it was something like 8,000. And you have to think that we have the highest turnout in the elections in the UK at 52%. You know, I think this kind of data doesn't mean anything unless you show the growth from last year or how it compares with other unions.
So you don't think if they'd gone out with a picture of Patrick O'Hare that his figures would have been any different to you last year?
Well, we've no idea, do we?
No, but you don't think that he would have had a different figure? Because you've still not answered the question, roughly how many students you thought you'd spoken to.
How many students have I... Well, I mean, a lot. I guess we all spend a lot of time during Freshers Week going out and meeting as many people as possible. I personally went to every hall at least once. Some of them I went to twice. And we've had lots and lots of positive engagement on our things like our association Facebook page. I'm trying to think of numbers that are quantifiable in terms of comparison. How can we show that things have gone up since last year? I think we've had something like 1,000 extra likes on our association Facebook page. We've gone from, on our freshers website, we had something crazy like 20,000 hits over the summer. We've had 2,500 people like that page as well, the Freshers Week page. I think it's very clear that we're doing a lot more this year. Regular emails out to the student body every week. And we're looking at a newsletter at the moment. Basically, the communication is forming a strong part of this year's sabbatical team in a way that it certainly hasn't in previous years.
Okay, and one of the other things that you said to The Saint in March, just after you'd been elected, is that you wanted to spend as many meals as possible in student halls.
Mm.
How many have you spent so far in halls?
So far none, but I am talking to the wardens at the moment about when I can come. I'm on my way to some cheese and wine and cheese, or is it cheese and wine? Cheese and wine. I'm on my way to some light refreshments in the evening at halls in the coming months. I think it's important to point out that it's very difficult to predict your schedule so far in advance, especially before I started the job. And since we have started, as I said, Freshers Week has been enormously successful for us and a lot of hard work. Yes, I'm hoping to get to some halls for dinner. I've had lots of very generous offers, as I said, having been to all of the halls during Freshers Week. We've got to know the hall committees, and they're all very, very nice people.
It's an interesting point that you raise, that when you're on the trail, you can't predict your schedule so far in advance. And last week, in an interview with this programme, the AU president, Emily Griffiths, told us that she made promises on the campaign trail that she couldn't keep, as she didn't know exactly what her role would be before taking up the post. Did you make any lies when you were campaigning?
I think I was very clear during my campaign. I was very clear that I was offering not specific what's of what I was going to do. I didn't say I will, you know, sell this many biscuits, or I will achieve that many, walks through my door. There were no specific targets. And the very deliberate reason for that was I was saying that here is who you want to elect, not what you want to elect. This is the person who will approach this job. How will they do it? Not specifically what will they achieve, because as you said, it's impossible to predict the other people that I need to work with in order to get there, not least my own sabbatical team. So I think in that way I've been very successful indeed. The three points I had were constructive relationships, which you mentioned, and that's relationships within the town and within the university, and that's been going really very well. I've had a lot of positive talks with various heads of business units, and I meet with them regularly. Transparency was the second one, which is all about our communication. And I think even in the article you mentioned, something like 15% of people look at my blog or the Twitter feed, and that's 15% of people who were looking at something that didn't exist beforehand. And the third one was collective leadership, and that's the important one in regards to this, because that's being led by what students want rather than what I want. And a good example of that is the accommodation survey that we're running at the moment. I sit on one of the committees, it's called the Residential Strategy Working Group, which more or less decides what Hull's residents will look like in the future. And as happens on many committees, this is just one example. The senior university heads of the department will turn around to me and say, well, what do the students think? And I don't think it's right for me to presume that I know what the students think. And this survey is an example of where I said, well, let me go and ask them. And so I've been working closely with the SRC accommodation officer, Dougal, and his team, Cassie and Mimi. And we've been promoting this accommodation survey, which I will then take the results back, or rather the accommodation team, the SRC team, are going to present to this group, which I'm also keen to make sure that the SRC officers are getting FaceTime with the heads of the departments. I'm going to take these results back and say, well, actually, here's the data, because on accommodation, there's a lot of issues that come up, but we very, very rarely talk about the actual data that's presented.
So we'll go on to talking about accommodation in just a minute, but before we move away from the point about the campaign trail and the role, did you fully understand what the role of president entailed before you took the role? Because it's even the survey in the same suggests that a lot of students still don't understand what the president does. Did you understand what?
I did, of course, I did, but you have to remember that a lot of students don't necessarily care. I'm not going to force our vision and what we do on everybody. I mean, I'm delighted that so many people do actually take an active interest, and I think we must have one of the highest engagements in the student association in the country. If you put it on voter turnout, we definitely do. I knew very much what the role was, and I'm delighted that not too many people want to run for sabbatical positions in the future, because you want a diverse student body, and student politics isn't necessarily for anybody, for everyone rather, and when I see the amount of work that does go on within the union by people who actually care about it, I'm enormously humbled by what we achieve as a collective group.
Okay, if we move on to accommodation now, you were talking about the survey that's going on. You told Star in the election campaign that this would be your main focus. So what else has been going on so far? What's going to be happening in the year ahead?
So I mentioned the survey. That's one piece of research that's going on. There's also something called the Town Commission on Housing, which has been meeting for some months now and is going to be collecting data on the housing need in St Andrews, both for locals and for students. Again, what we're trying to do here is get down to some actual figures which demonstrate what the need is. A big issue this year was the 300 spare rooms in the University Estate, which I was very annoyed to hear, not necessarily because the university messed it up, although that perhaps there were a couple of miscalculations, but it's not an exact science, but because I was sat in a hall with 200 other students in Parliament Hall in March, I think it was this year, and there were many people complaining that they hadn't received a returning place in hall, which is fair enough. To find out that a lot of the spare rooms that have occurred have come from students who've held an offer on the university's estate and then dropped it for their own private accommodation makes me very angry indeed. I think it's important to hold the university to account where and when we need to, but we also have to hold ourselves to account. And if there are students who've been out there who have ruined it for other students, then, you know, that annoys me greatly. And I'm encouraging the university to increase its penalties, but rather to put a financial incentive in so that once you sign a contract, you've signed a contract and that's it, because you won't be just letting the university down, you'll be letting yourself down. And that's lost revenue for the university as well, which means less money to put back into teaching and the experience and all the sorts of things they spend their money on. Sorry, you're going to ask something.
Anything else you want to say on
that? Yeah, so there's two pieces of research that we're doing. Is the survey at the moment, which you'll find on the association Facebook page, and the Town Commission on Housing, which is a collaboration, and that's a demonstration again of the relationships that I just discussed earlier. Collaboration with various groups in the town. I'm also very keen to engage with the university on exactly what halls of residence in the future look like. There's been a few developers around town at the moment who are looking at various sites, and I'm very keen for the university to engage with these developers, quite simply because those developers would go ahead and build their buildings anyway. And as much as we can try and have no influence on that and put in things like Wardennial teams, the better. And at the end of the day, the university only has limited financial resources, and we can bang the door all we want, but you know, I'd rather that private money went into something like the building blocks of a building. As long as the agreement with the university was absolutely in the student interest, and that's why I'm there, the better. Otherwise, these things would go ahead and the students won't have any input at all.
Yeah. Well, one of the major issues of last year was the fees and the rest of UK fees going up to 9,000. What's happening about that this year? It's still an issue that when you speak to students on the ground, they're very emotive about. What are the union doing?
Well, it's obviously not a good thing. I mean, that's a statement.
So it's not a good thing?
Well, it's not a good thing that we're at £9,000 fees. But I would also say that this is a decision that was made by the university court last year. There was a lot of very spirited fighting against that. But it's passed. And I have to say, people say to me, realistically, what are you going to achieve in your year? Overturning a court decision on fees is not something I can achieve. It's not something I would seek to achieve because it's almost impossible. It's not going to happen. You have to understand that the university has the right to make its decision and we can only advise. So, given the situation, how are we going to deal with it? Something that I'm very keen to promote is, and there's a very good reason for this, is the work that the university is doing on increasing bursaries and scholarships for those who otherwise wouldn't be able to attend here for financial reasons. And the reason that I'm doing that is not only because I think it's important that students are aware that these things exist, because I'm worried that we would otherwise perpetuate an image that St Andrews won't welcome people who can't afford to come here, which I don't think is beneficial for the student population. But also because by celebrating what's going on, I think it's a very good tool for encouraging the university to do more. Otherwise, if you sit outside the room and constantly frustrate the university with saying, well, you're not doing enough, then how do they know what enough looks like? But if you work with them to celebrate what they're doing, it's a very good way of encouraging them to do more.
Okay. And we'll move on now to what's likely to be the big political issue among students over the coming semester here, and that's the NUS referendum. And you've already said that you're not going to be taking a side.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
And so what role will you be playing in that?
So constitutionally, my role is to be the convener or the head of the Senior Elections Committee, the Senior Elections Officer. And the Senior Elections Committee meets to decide what the rules are, which is then passed by SRC and SSC. So we've met yesterday. This is a committee that I appoint, but I've appointed senior elected officers. And we've drafted rules, which will then go to SRC and SSC next week. And we'll be looking to make a public announcement about the details of this on the 18th or 19th of October. we have every intention to fulfill what the SLC's mandated decision for a referendum later this semester. And in the sense that I'm an independent senior elections convener, all I care about is a free and fair election. I don't care about the result. I care about the result once it's happened and what that means for students. But my main interest, well, my only interest in this is to make sure that there is a free and fair election.
And do you think that that's okay to have an election in November if a public announcement's not being made till the 18th or 19th of October? Does that not concern you that there's not that much time for a campaign?
No, that gives us, we're looking at something like between 4 and 5 weeks. And we think that's a very fair length of time. Everything has its place. There's been a lot of other priorities up until now. And we are confident that this gives the right amount of time. Because, of course, you don't want to conversely give too much time. I think the elected officers in the union is more like 2 weeks or possibly 3 weeks. And I think you don't want to give too much time for the issue to spiral out of control. You have to remember this is something that we have to manage. When I talk about a free and fair election, I've no idea if or what unhelpful tactics could be employed, not even by either side, but it could be external influences.
Well, that leads me on to my point, which is, will you intervene if you see one of the sides misusing the facts, if you see them saying something which isn't true?
Something that I'm very keen to ensure is the case is that any argument that's made can be rooted in facts. And if you can't root that argument in fact, then we will be very severely punishing that team. As I said, let me be absolutely clear. My interest in this is a free and fair election. And what I want to avoid are false claims. If a claim can be grounded in fact, or if it can be worded in such a way that it is clear that it is not basically lying. I forgot where I started that sentence. I don't want to double negative myself, but I think it's clear what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah. The other issue, finally, which is going to come up this year, is about the redevelopment of the union.
Yeah.
I know that's something you're going to talk about. So what stage are we at with that, and when are we going to see it get going?
So just yesterday we launched a Facebook page. And the reason I keep going about Facebook pages, but the reason is because this is quite easily the way to reach most students. It's how we get the most feedback. It's quite obvious from the numbers. I can't remember, tens of thousands of people engage with the association page every week. We launched a Facebook page on the redevelopment yesterday, specifically to give students the chance to comment and offer their opinions. We're currently looking for a name for the shop and for the cafe. So the new cafe will go in where Bess is currently, the shop is currently, and the new shop will go in where the recycling bin store is just to the left of it at the moment. And those building works will start in March. So there are four phases. And the first phase is coming March until August. And when that's finished, you'll see a new cafe and shop at the front of the building. I must clarify that the final decision by a university court to grant or to release the funds won't come until January. January meeting of court.
And are you confident they're going to give you the funds to start in March?
I'm very confident. Trust me, I have to be.
So you're happy that the redevelopment is on schedule?
Yes.
And it's going to be started soon. When are we likely to see the whole thing finished?
Well, as I mentioned, there are four phases, and that's specifically to avoid shutting down the entire building whilst the whole thing is rebuilt. I would add that this is quite a serious redevelopment, and this is something we're trying to promote through the Facebook page, images and plans of exactly what's happening, because I'm not sure that it's been made clear in the past. Basically, the entire building is being totally gutted, and everything is being rebuilt inside. And those four phases, as I said, begin in March and end, I think it's in the summer of 2015. So it's sort of two and a half year build.
Yeah. Finally, we'll move on to just an overall view of the year. What are your hopes for the year of what you can achieve? And looking back in 10 years' time, what do you hope to be able to look at and say, that was my legacy there as president?
I mean, it's clear to point out that this is not about me. This year has never been about me, for myself or for anyone else. Yes, I may be the figurehead, but the work is done by not just the four sabbatical officers, not just the permanent staff in the union, but by all of the student societies and all of their members. So much of what we talk about to people at the university and in the town is about the work of societies. And it's really, you know, I'm not here to, as you know, create a legacy which I can happily look at for myself. I'm here to work with Jules Events and Services, work with Meg Dosda, and of course Amanda, the Doe rep. And I said, you know, if I was looking for any legacy, it would be just a good team that we worked with. And I have to say that's probably the, well, I would say it is absolutely the most beneficial thing. The biggest bonus so far this year has been the team. And I don't mean just the four sabbaticals and our postgraduate president, Danny. I mean the team of the union, that's the permanent staff as well. I think one of the projects which probably marks this year differently is the Your 600th campaign, which is a student-led campaign to celebrate the 600th anniversary and to create a bursary fund of about £30,000, which will needs assessed scholarships of £1,000 a year. But again, that's being run by students. All the ideas that we've had so far have come from students. We have a committee which is, again, students who are really interested in doing that. So that's what I'm really interested in, is making sure that I inherit this position, look after it, and leave it in a better place for future students.
Freddie, thank you for speaking to us on Star, and hope to see you again. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.